I need to figure out how to make a beat for like a K-pop trap song, which is not my normal kind of music.
No.
So it's maybe a little bit of a challenge.
I don't know if people know this about Jessica, but she's not a K-pop singer.
I like K-pop. I just, I'm not a producer in that realm.
I have a new mic. I don't know if our listeners can tell.
We haven't even introed yet. You jump right in.
I'm just talking.
That's the worst part of knowing you. It's the constant talking.
Just too much.
So then what is it? It's the 30th, right? We've almost survived January.
Almost.
It's been pretty good.
Almost. Are we introing it now? Are we in it now?
I always like to say the date for people in the future. When society collapses and all that remains is this podcast. They need to know where we were.
Yeah. When it all went down. This week was GameStop.
Yeah, that was this Wednesday's excitement.
Yeah, weird stuff happened this week with GameStop, and I wish I didn't understand it, but I do now.
That's how I feel too. Like I wish I didn't have to think about or know about this, but here we are, and I do.
Yeah, we watched The Big Short last night in the theme of stonks. And have you seen The Big Short?
I have, yes. It was some years ago, and I'm pretty sure I was drunk while I watched it, but
it's good. It was funny because, like, the whole, you know, these people made, like, I don't know, $2 billion, $3 billion off of shorting the housing market. And then the hedge funds that went under because of GameStop lost, like, $2 billion because of GameStop.
Good.
Good. Yeah, I'm like, I don't feel any sympathy for these people, especially after watching The Big Short. Like, they bet against the American economy.
Yeah, like, I don't understand why we allow that other than because rich people lobby to continue for us to allow that.
Well, the shorts on the housing market didn't exist until that guy Michael Burry thought of it. And he was the first to, like, when he saw this happening in, like, 2005, bought swaps against the housing market, so that wasn't even a thing that existed. He was the first person to be like,
why can they short these stocks now?
Well, shorting stocks has always been a thing,
but why? But
because I don't know, shouldn't be allowed.
That's but what I'm saying, shorting, like, why do we let this happen?
Shorting mortgage bonds was never a thing because those were always that they're not risk, they weren't risky. He was the first person to be like, no, I want to short these, and the banks were like, lol. The best part is when the bank is like, we're willing to sell you $5 million in swaps, and he was like, can we make it $100 million? And the bank thinks they're getting the deal of a lifetime because they're like, this guy's a sucker, like, housing's never gonna collapse. And so they're like, absolutely, we can make it $100 million.
Oops.
Yeah, the guy made like $4 billion.
Sure, but he's still going to hell.
He was, like, the only one with a conscience, and at the end he shut down his fund, and he was like, I hate myself.
Yeah, but he's still going to hell. It's unrelated to this. I should have been clear. It's not related to the housing market.
Yeah. Yep.
He killed a nun. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
I got Chris watching. I don't know if people can tell,
but...
What?
I was just going to say, you and I both have good mics now.
We do.
I'm really doing it.
Yeah, that's how you know we've really arrived, is we both bought Blue Yeti mics because it's the mic of podcasters worldwide, and now we are podcasters. Because this is episode 17?
Yep.
Yeah, so we that's official. Once you've done that many episodes, 17. Like, you're in the club.
Get a real mic.
They sent us, the you know, some flowers that were really
nice.
Podcasts
of America send you a mic.
Yeah.
So, yep.
It's really thoughtful.
Yep. I bought mine off of Facebook, and I like to think I rescued it because in the pictures that the person took of, like, the mic mounted to their desk in the background was a Trump 2020 sticker, like, on their corkboard. It's like, I need to save this microphone from whatever this person's going to be whispering into it.
probably, you know, like Joe Biden's a pedophile.
Yeah, weird, like a QAnon podcast.
Yeah. We almost did a QAnon podcast, but we thought, you know what? We're not assholes who are dumb.
There's a QAnon podcast that's like run by people who were previously like, I think it's run by people who were previously in that like cult, and now they've kind of deprogrammed themselves and they're like making a podcast to explain how people get sucked into this and like what the history is. And it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to advertise other podcasts on this podcast.
Yeah, forget it. There is only one podcast and you're listening to it.
This is the only one.
Chris recommended our podcast to their friends on Facebook.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's driven a lot of engagement. So.
Oh my God.
They say this is how this gives them good insight into me and my mind and like.
Oh no.
They've learned stuff about me on the podcast that we haven't talked about. And so it's kind of funny to me, isn't it? Like we don't talk about things, but the conversations mm-hmm. we have are a little bit different in terms of where we end up on stuff. So
mm-hmm.
You and I, where we end up. So I guess that's good in a way. That's why in the drinking game episode, it was like one of the drinks was Becca or Jessica reveal something about their childhood. Because I feel like we do that. A lot of it, you know, we're just reading the stories, but it leads into us talking about like, this is the first thing that ever hurt me in my life.
Oh. People are like, oof. Oh, you know what we should do when my mom is a co-host is we should ask her those first date questions that you and I came up with
a
while ago.
Oh, yeah. Don't say any of them on here. They need to be a surprise.
Okay.
We'll be like, this is, obviously she's going to hear this, but we'll be like, yeah, this is the prereq. It's an interview that you have to do before we let you be on the podcast.
Yeah.
And we already knew each other's answers and we knew Taylor's. Now, you know, I've got to hear yours.
Mary's going to be joining us in 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited.
Oh my God.
Yeah. She's going to come in, I think, with some hot takes. Very mm-hmm. polite, well thought out hot takes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is she caught up right now? Does she know like the story arc we're following in the podcast?
No, she's quite behind.
Oof, come on.
Yeah, she's several weeks behind. She just listened to the one with the guy who took his girlfriend who usually sat at home and ate pancakes, wanted to go hiking with him. She was so upset. She texted me and she was like, I can't believe that guy's an ass. She was like, I'll make her good pancakes.
Wait, is she saying she would date this woman?
Hmm.
That's what it sounds like. You don't just make people pancakes.
We had pancakes every Sunday morning growing up.
So you were dating your family. Chris made me banana pancakes for the first time a couple weeks ago.
I love banana pancakes.
I liked it well enough.
We didn't ever like make them from scratch, like with, you know, baking powder and eggs and all that. Like we just got the Costco
the
bag of the
whatever.
It was Crusties was the one.
Crusties.
Costco. It was like a 17-pound bag. And it sat in our pantry and every Sunday we'd pull out the griddle and you just mix that powder with some water and you have pancakes. Mm-hmm. It was great. We'd put like sometimes we'd do chocolate chips, sometimes you'd do cinnamon, bananas. It's good stuff.
I usually do French toast, as I know you've had because I've made breakfast for you and David before.
I don't think I've had your French toast.
You absolutely have when we were at your cabin and I got up and I made breakfast for everybody.
Oh,
and it took forever
be right.
because there weren't enough like things to make the breakfast in. So, but yeah, you've had them and they were good. They have a little bit of vanilla and cinnamon in them. I like them.
I don't eat
breakfast though, so I don't make them very often.
Yeah. Looking forward to getting to hang out and cook with my friends again.
That could be fine. Yeah.
Yeah. I could see it.
Maybe.
We don't know now if we're going to move to a bigger place yet or if we're going to wait for the summer and save some more money. But we're still going to tour this place on Monday.
You got to use that GameStop money.
If we love it.
Buy a house.
No. No. If we love it, we'll maybe go for it. But. We're also fine with staying here. I thought we would feel more cramped, but so far it's been fine. It's like apartments like divided up pretty nicely.
Mm-hmm.
So,
did you tape like a thing down the middle of the room? Like this is David's side.
This is your half.
Yeah.
This is my half.
Don't cross over this.
Yeah. Get out of here.
Should I buy a house in Denver?
Oh yeah. Mm. Yeah.
It was a trick question. I'm not going to do it. You know I love it here. You were supposed to say no. You should live in the place you love.
You've never been to Denver. You might love Denver.
I guess my problem with it is that David's there. Like, before David was there, sure. Mm, but now there's that unsavory element.
Like, when we were talking about, oh, all of our friends coming to visit, and Alex was like, yeah, I can't wait. And Kyle was like, for that reason, I'm out. Because Alex is coming.
Because Alex is going to be there.
Yeah.
That's fair. What are you going to do? I don't know. I might just stay in this apartment forever because I've got rent control and I like where it is.
Nice.
Yeah. That's not true. I'll probably move somewhere, you know, once I hit it big off of AMC. I'm going to move to a three-bedroom. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have a room just for laying on the ground. And there's nothing in there but floors. There's no windows, no fans. Just
floor. That would be my closet that I'm in right now.
Becca, it's 2021. Come on.
Oh, my God. You're right.
What did we say last night to Ben when I was like, it's 2021?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
Good story.
Yeah. I'll probably edit that out. Or maybe I won't. Maybe this is a whole podcast. So I'll just keep being like, hey, remember that thing we talked about? And you're like, no. And then that's the whole episode.
That's going to be really exciting to listen to. I'm yeah. Really
people have long wanted to know, what do we talk about when we have nothing to talk about?
Nothing.
I was, I think Chris was surprised at how insulting we are to each other. Not just us, but like in our friends group that was playing Mario Kart last night. Because we basically shit all over each other constantly. But if someone else came for any individual in the group, we would turn and just tear them apart.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's how you know it's a good friendship.
We say shit, not even like insulting shit, but just like, so when we were playing Rocket League, and you can blow each other up in Rocket League if you drive fast enough into another car. And I was like, I'm going to kill Alex. And then I was like, not in the game, just like.
Yeah, just in general. If he was here right now, I'd stab him. What was it? Oh, like, and that, I tweeted earlier this week, I tweeted, I don't really eat breakfast, but if someone, I would stab Becca in the leg if someone could get me a box of Rice Krispie Treats cereal.
And people were like, you would do that anyway.
Yeah, it's true.
Unrelated.
I don't know. That's just how we communicate. That's how we express our friendship love.
Violent. Yeah.
Yeah. We call each other bitches. I've definitely thrown a Molotov cocktail at David's apartment once. You know, I gave Cammy a knife.
I had to go to my class started this week, and I already had to go to office hours this morning. So it was really fun. I don't know what's going on. It's advanced Bayesian modeling, and I haven't taken a proper stats class in 2 years. So I'm a little lost, and I show up to office hours, and like the lecture videos are all pre-recorded, and they're all just like a guy's screen. Like, you don't see his face. You just hear his voice as he's explaining stuff. And so I was the first one at office hours. I was one of the only ones at office hours because it's the first week, and, you know, I'm already lost. So that's good. And I asked a question being like, yeah, I didn't feel like this topic was covered very well in the lectures, and I was wondering if you could like go into more detail. And he started talking, and I was like, oh, he's the professor that did the lectures.
Whoops.
Whoopsie. But he said I had good questions. So, I mean, I'm sure it's like useful feedback for a professor to hear a student be like, yeah, this wasn't covered well. But I kept being like, in the lectures, he said blah, blah, blah. The more this guy talked, I was like, wait.
Is me.
Yeah, he didn't say anything, though. I realized it like halfway through the office hours. I was like, oh, that's the guy that did the lectures. I've never had a professor do office hours in this program. Like, it's always just like a TA. But this class is like a 598 level class. So I don't actually know if it has TAs. I think it's just a professor and maybe one or two other grad students. But he does an hour long office hours every Saturday. I've never had a professor be like, yeah, I'll spend an hour of my Saturday answering student questions. That's wild. This class has really good reviews, but it's supposed to be really hard. So,
and you're in week one of what, like 16?
Yeah. I'm dying.
This better not impact our ability to record this or play video games.
No. I'm going to try to be good about like boxing off time. It's helpful that David's here now too, because like he can like clean the apartment while I do homework, so I don't have to worry about like doing everything. You know, it's hard when you live alone and you're trying to stay on top of everything. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the first three weeks are the hardest because it's like concepts you've never thought of before. And then it gets better from there. So we'll see.
I guess we will.
Wow.
Really excited for that.
Excited to see some growth.
Yeah. I hate it, though. Like, if I'm being clear, I hate that there's growth.
Same.
I think this is going to make it easier for you as you work with the data science team.
Well, I would certainly hope so. It is a degree in data science.
Becca also knows about data science.
That is my job, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, good for you. You're killing it.
Wow. Jessica, thanks.
Yeah.
You're starting a new job on Monday, right?
I am. I did I did some work to close out some things on my previous role the last couple days, but I also need some of it part-time. But it should be good. I'm excited to start. I've talked with a lot of the folks on the team. They're all very nice. And a lot of movement going on at the company right now, I think, within our little business unit. And I guess I'm part of that now, so... Exciting.
Nice.
Mostly, I'm just excited to dump two of my accounts that are really obnoxious. Otherwise, I wouldn't care.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, guess what else I'm doing this week that I'm going to, you know, talk about is I'm doing another script reading for charity this week. So I know, right? I don't know if many of you got to watch the last one, Scripts Gone Wild, but we're doing Twister this week. I don't know what parts I'm playing yet. We haven't got the script with the lines. And I'm just going to do some minor stuff. But, you know, we all have to drink when we flub lines. And there's one line where we all have to drink together. It's funny. And it's for charity. This time is for the American Playwriting Foundation. So if you get a chance to listen, it's at 7:30 Pacific on Wednesday. Should be a good time. I had a lot of fun last time. It's all like... it's primarily people who like act and write in films and TV and stuff. And then I'm here with like, I have an arcade machine. So I too am a nerd. And that's about all, but it's super fun. So if you get a chance, listen or donate or both.
Nice.
That's all I really have going on this week.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah, I'm super excited. They reopened San Francisco. Well, really all of California is now out of the shelter in place, like the mandatory shelter in place, and we're back into our tiered system. So people are like, I can't wait to go outside and eat. And I want to go outside and eat, but also I'm a little cautious because of the variants of the virus that are around. And we're still not doing outdoor dining. I can't imagine being a person who would do, or I say indoor dining. I can't imagine doing indoor dining right now and feeling like this is okay and good.
It's a
questionable move.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
I just feel like you put so many more people at risk that way. Very selfish.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. We go to this coffee shop by my apartment sometimes, and we'll just go in, get coffee, and leave. And there's people that just sit in there, like, in the coffee shop inside, like it's a normal day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is going on? I was just saying, I really wish I could, like, go to a library and do homework. And David was like, you probably could. Like, the libraries probably have tables spaced out and stuff. And, like,
yeah. Plus, only nerds are there.
You can keep your mask on, right? But I don't know if they're open to people sitting inside or not. I don't know what that situation is. But I feel like if the library is big enough, that's probably okay.
You just need a library with outdoor seating, outdoor books.
It is warm out, so I could maybe sit outside and do some work.
All the books are made of plastic.
It's so sunny here. Like, if you try to sit outside and look at your laptop, it's like, it's a hopeless.
Oh,
it's
so bright. That does sound terrible.
You're right.
You should leave.
Super sunny.
It's nice, sunny, and warm. It's pleasant. There's a big park right next to your apartment.
Ugh. Yeah.
I can't imagine. That sounds terrible. Mm-hmm. Let me know if you're suffering. You know, we can talk. We can talk through this so that you're emotionally prepared. Is that your Call Congress sweater?
Yeah. I use this Congress. We're in like a conundrum right now because David and I learned we have opposite approaches when looking at new houses/apartments. I have the approach of like, I don't want to miss a good place. So I'm like down to sign if it meets most of our like things that we want. Whereas he is the opposite of like, I don't want to jump into something and then regret it. So he would rather wait and I would rather like sign on everything. So we're seeing this place on Monday. We walked to it this morning and it's like, probably like a 20-minute walk from where we are now, right by the park. And so his only concern was like, it's not in like a neighborhood that we know, and like it might be a worse neighborhood. Like there's certain pockets of Denver that aren't super great. And I was like, I don't want to like keep searching. And like, like this one is really nice on the inside. The pictures are beautiful. It's all redone and everything. And so, but I was also like, we don't really like, you don't go to the park now. So,
so like, are you really going to miss it when you're not by it?
Yeah. I mean, I do. And I would miss being right by the park, but it's like, you can drive to the park. Mm-hmm. Like if you want to do a big walk, it's not
if
the end
you
of the
want
world.
To,
but we might just stay here and save money and rearrange the furniture a little bit and see what we can do.
You've got
here,
those so. High ceilings. What if you just built kind of like a lofted area?
I'm sure the building wouldn't mind that at all.
They don't have to know. You just sneak in one piece of wood at a time. They're like, what are you doing? You're like, oh, building a fort, but a small one and not elevated above the main floor of the apartment. Because you're on the ground floor, right?
Adding a level.
There's nothing below you.
The ground floor.
Yeah, so correct. It's all solid. There's no, you know, you can put a lot of weight on that ground without any worry.
There are units on this level that have lofts above the kitchen.
But not yours.
But not mine. Mine's just not high enough. Yeah.
Think of how warm it would be up there.
Toasty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a toaster?
I do.
I don't have a toaster, and so I toast everything in the oven, which is effective, but it seems like a lot to do because it's
very inefficient.
Yeah.
I love my toaster. I got it on Amazon. It was pretty cheap.
How many slices does it do?
Two.
Only two? What if you need to eat four frozen waffles?
Never done that before.
Oh, me neither, probably. I would do two frozen waffles and two pizza bagels.
What?
You put them in the slots.
Pizza bagels are tiny.
No, you got to get the full-size ones.
What?
You know, like there's Reese's Minis that are smaller Reese's cups. Those are you're
what
thinking.
What are we talking
mini
about?
Mini pizza bagels. I'm saying a bagel with.
Are you
pizza
high?
No, it is only 12:40 here. I don't get high until 12:30. hold on.
Wait.
No, I'm not high. All right, right
should
now.
We?
Should
we do some posts?
No, I just want to keep asking you if you have a toaster. Yeah, whatever. Okay. Do a post. I don't care.
I'm into this one called Stonks because David dabbled in GameStop this week. And now I know more about GameStop than I wanted to.
I've been to GameStop. I didn't pre-order anything.
There used to be a GameStop in the mall by our house. It's actually where we bought our GameCube when we were kids.
We used to have Funko Land, which it became GameStop, basically. So at one point in the mall in where I grew up in Southgate and Taylor, they had a Funko Land and an EB Games, and then both of those were bought by GameStop. And so both of those stores in the mall, which was not a big mall, turned into GameStops. But then also across the street, there was another Funko Land, and that one also became a GameStop. So you had
three GameStops
that you could walk to within like 5 minutes. And it was like the Starbucks of game stores.
That's funny. A weird thing is that in Denver, there are 7-Elevens everywhere.
That is
this
weird.
This is not... So David was like, there's a lot of 7-Elevens in Ann Arbor. And I was like, yeah, but you couldn't walk from one 7-Eleven to the other. Like, they're spread out. Here, there will be like seven within like three blocks. Like, they're just on every block, there's a 7-Eleven.
Do they have
it's
any
really weird.
Little grocery stuff, or is it like a standard 7-Eleven?
They have like canned stuff, the little sandwiches. Mm. I mean, it's like a very basic bodega snack food, frozen food.
The what
you can
I've
get
learned,
like toilet paper and like soap and stuff. Yeah,
what I've learned here compared to like back in Michigan, you know, we have our liquor stores or party stores, I think is what we would call them here. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing is called a corner store, but they often have like fresh produce and you can get meat and other stuff there. So it's just very, it's different, but I like it because you'll get you know, in places like Detroit, you'll get food deserts where there's no supermarket, and primarily that is where you get your groceries, versus here where there's a store every corner or two where you can go in and buy everything you would need. Like, if I didn't have stuff to make pasta, I could go get tomatoes and onion and garlic and everything I would need from the same place. I can go buy my rum, you know.
These 7-Elevens don't have produce, they might have like fruit, like apples and bananas, mm-hmm. and then like canned veggies, and then they'll have like the little in the little like fridge section of like salads and sandwiches.
Yeah.
The one that was by my house in Ann Arbor had more groceries.
I was gonna say, like, I felt like that one was okay. It had that apartment that complex good. Across the street though. Plus other, you know, just yeah. the students in general. If you didn't want to go yeah. all the way to Meijer.
Yeah. So that one had a market to be a bit bigger.
Nice.
Around here there's like there's not any grocery stores within walking distance, but there are a lot of grocery stores around. My what? Issue is they're all pretty bougie. There's not any like there's one Kroger
I was like going to ask, like, do they have the Kroger there? I know Meijer is not out this far. I didn't know if you were far enough.
That yeah,
you
it's have a called Safeway. King Supers, but it's still a Kroger. But there's like a Sprouts where like a jar of peanut butter is like $9. And I walked in there for one thing and I just got so angry. I was like, Sprouts, go fuck yourself. Like, who do you think you are?
You heard the Sprouts.
There's
feeling.
No way that this is worth this much.
It's, I mean, obviously it's like that out here too, because we've got, we've got Whole Foods. Like, we have Whole Foods here. Like, you have Kroger's back
yeah,
home.
There's a lot of
so
Whole
many.
Foods here, too.
So,
yeah.
I go there. I actually like their pizza crust. I've gotten pizza dough from them, like the fresh stuff, and made pizzas out of that mm-hmm. before. But I usually mm-hmm. go to this Italian grocery around the corner that has really high-quality meat and produce, but it is definitely more expensive. Although, oddly enough, the little frozen pizzas I like are $3.99 there and $5.99 at Target, which I would expect to have lower prices.
Yeah. Whole Foods is expensive. I stopped shopping there mostly because if you do delivery from Whole Foods, they'll send all the refrigerated stuff in these
metal
bags. If you look that up, those cannot be recycled and they do not ever decompose because it's like a silver. They're lined with silver.
It's like insulation. And, yeah.
Yes. And they are horrible for the environment. And there are all these, like, change.org petitions to try to get Whole Foods to stop using these. Because it's like, why? Like, I don't. The Whole Foods is, like, a mile away. Like, you can drive it here. I'm not worried about it melting, right? Like, I don't need a high-grade, silver-lined freezer bag. It's okay. Whereas if you get, like, Instacart from the King Supers, they'll just bring it in grocery bags. And it's fine. Like, that's fine.
Yeah, as long as it's getting there quickly.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of the times they'll pre-pack it. Like, the shopper will, like, pack multiple orders and then put them in, like, the King Supers will have, like, a temperature-controlled room for these
people
to, like,
leave
the things
in.
So I don't understand.
Did you see Instacart was firing all of the people that tried to unionize?
No.
Yeah, they started.
Should
firing.
I stop using
yeah,
Instacart?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Is I'm not gonna use them anymore. I deleted the app. I closed my account because, I mean, a lot of the gig economy stuff isn't great, in terms of like workers' rights at all. So mm-hmm. Instacart is also now firing people who tried to unionize. So I'm like, okay, that I've got to draw the line somewhere. That's awful. Although also Uber and Lyft, I don't want to use anymore, for similar reasons. I'm like, they're just bad. They're so bad to the people.
My thought process had been like, with the pandemic, let's minimize the set of people that are in the grocery stores.
Sure.
But maybe it's better to just do like everyone just pick up your groceries. Like, we can just do pickup.
That's what I've been doing that sometimes. I've been trying to go to Target for staples instead of like mm-hmm. the Italian grocery, just because it's a little less expensive, but also because they do order pickup. So I don't mm-hmm. have to go in and be another person floating around in there. Mm-hmm. The people who are already in
I know Whole Foods does that. I don't know if Kroger will do that. Mm-hmm. So
I think Kroger was doing that in Ann Arbor before I moved, or they were just starting to.
You're right. They might. Yeah, they might.
So, well, go ahead and read your story. We got off on a tangent.
That's never happened before.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like that. Sorry that we're not as focused today, folks.
All right. Am I the asshole for gambling all of my dad's free money on GME stock a month ago? That's GameStop. Mm-hmm. So I have access to my dad's account, as I'm the one who is authorized by him to make trades on our joint account. I always usually tell him.
I'm telling him.
Before I buy something to get his approval first. But this time I saw GME, an overpriced stock at the time, and I said, you know what? I'm going to YOLO all the money in there. Well, now we are here. The stock price blew up, and I made my dad a ton of money. A ton. Yeah, if he bought it a month ago, yeah.
Yep.
I told my parents what I had done, and my parents, instead of jumping for joy at their new small, at their small newly found fortune, were not entirely happy with me. My dad was upset that I went behind his back and gambled his money. My mom was mad because she read all these stupid articles on Twitter and Facebook about how GME is a scam. It's not worth what it's worth. Newsflash, we all know that. It's kind of the whole reason we're in this. Maybe it was wrong of me to gamble money on a stock and not tell anyone. Am I the asshole? I'm gonna go with yeah. Like, you made him a ton of money, but you could have lost it all. That was, yeah, it was a gamble.
I
like, this isn't investing. That's the difference. It's like doing things like these, like hyped up stocks. It's not investing. The meme, like, stocks. So you say that this is a joint account for investing, but that's not what you did. You gambled.
Well, that's what, like, I was thinking is, like, is he says I have access to, as I'm the one who's authorized to make trades. So, like, what is his,
but it's
dad
still
expecting
his money
to do with it?
It's still his dad's money. So I think the idea is, like, the son has access to this brokerage account and will use the money in that account to make investments. But I think the expectation should still be, you should ask, like,
yeah, I would have expected,
I'm
going to
go all in on this one stock, right? Like, but this question is silly. It'd be like, oh, I took all my dad's money and went to the roulette table and doubled it. Am I the asshole? It's like, yeah, you're still the asshole just because you got lucky.
Because it's a huge risk. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is, like, the ends don't necessarily justify what you did. I just, if that was the expectation, because if the child is like, oh, I'm gonna handle all the trades, and the dad's like, great, and then this is what the child decided to do, I'd be like, oh, you can't really be mad. Like, you gave them rein to do that, free rein to do that. But I don't know if that's
the
situation was.
The way the kid says, I always usually tell him before I buy. I think it's to get his approval first. I think we're missing some context. How old is this kid? Right? If the kid is like a teenager who just does like hobby investing, and,
well, his username is Cartman1000, so he's either a teen or like a 40-year-old white guy.
Cartman. That makes you think maybe like mid-20s. Yeah, it's still, you're still the asshole. You even said, I'm going to YOLO all the money in there. Like, if you had lost it all, I don't know how much money we're talking, but you can't just expect them to be psyched that you gambled all of their money and happened to win big. Like, they might be excited for the money, but the principle of what you did was still really shitty. It's not your money. The top comment is, yeah, you're the asshole. It wasn't yours to gamble. If it went the other way, you would have lost. The point is, you don't toy with what isn't yours.
He's a Wall Street Bets guy.
Oh, you're looking at the post.
Yeah, I'm looking at his post history. He's in that community. He's in the community that's kind of started this whole thing. So he says, I'm 17, gamble my life savings on the stock market crash when COVID started, and timed it pretty good. Am I doing this right? I think I need to make riskier trades. So he is like a baby. This was posted 17 days ago, so he's 17 or 18.
He's a baby and he's gambling with other people's money, and eventually he's going to lose, right? Like, what he's doing isn't investing. It's gambling. Mm-hmm. So I think this kid's going to learn eventually. And this time, because he was vindicated, he's like, ah, I don't know why my parents aren't psyched that I gambled all their money.
Normally they'd be super into this. What's going on?
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, this is a good comment. You're the asshole. It's financial malfeasance. You acted to risk money that wasn't yours on a very high-risk bet. Yes, it turned out spectacularly favorable, but ends do not justify the means here. Yeah, exactly. Just because you won doesn't mean you did the right thing. It's still a bad thing to have done.
Yes.
Great.
Great. Okay. Love to agree. We have to find this child and tell him he's an asshole. Get his address.
Also, I just want to tell this kid to, like, don't use Reddit to make financial decisions. It happened to work out really well once, but it's probably
just
not going to again.
Once.
Like, maybe try an index fund. You know what I love? I love gradually putting a little bit more and more money into my 401k and then watching it just steadily. That's such a high.
Just slightly tick up.
Every week, it's like a little bit more. Every week, Fidelity's like, you can retire at this age. And I'm like, yeah, the earth won't exist then, but yeah.
I don't know. At the same time, it's like, if you can make that big risk, I guess if it was his own money, it wouldn't matter.
If it was his own money, I would say sure. Like, if it was his money he made from a part-time job and he didn't need it to like pay for college or whatever. And he was just dicking around. Like when we were kids, we had to save half of whatever we got for gifts and stuff. And then once our bank accounts hit $1,000, we were able to use some of that to buy a stock or multiple stocks.
A stonk.
And our parents let us, even though we were like 10, they let us like do the research and like pick what stocks we wanted. I picked Coca-Cola and
always Coca-Cola.
Breyers ice cream. Because mm-hmm. I was a little fat kid. And it was cool because like Coke was really like a very steady bet, right? Like Coca-Cola isn't going under anytime soon. So the shares were expensive, but what happened was I meant to buy 7 shares, and I thought it didn't go through, so I bought another 7 shares. So I had 14 shares, and then I forgot about it for like 12 years. forgot about it, which is the way to do investing. So I did this when I was 10. Forgot about it, and then when I was 22 and I was trying to buy my first car, my dad was like, "You should check your like stock account because you probably have some money in there." And I was like, "Oh, I forgot about that." And what had happened was over those 12 years, Coke had split twice, which means you double your number of shares, and it had also just kept going up because it's Coca-Cola, and I made like $4,000, and I had just forgotten about it.
I wasn't talking like YOLO betting. Yeah, no, this is very different. I was talking with Chris about that yesterday because, like, depending on your background, you don't learn about stocks. Nobody teaches you about this. So unless you have, like, parents doing that or you've got inherited wealth, that kind of thing, it's just another way that poor people are kept out of building their wealth, which is why I like the whole GameStop thing is because I'm like, most of the people doing this, many of the people are like,
it's the first time.
Yeah, like it's the first time they've done any investing, whether it's for a meme or not. Like they're learning bits and kind of taking that money back from the assholes who have kept the people from making money for a long time. So,
yeah,
I don't really care. I think it's amusing to me that these funds are going out of business.
Yeah, yeah. I told my mom about this whole GameStop thing, and she was just like, "Yeah, stick it to them."
Mary's here for
it's like,
it.
It's like it's time for the little guys to win something.
Mary's a big old socialist. That's what I've learned about her.
Yep.
Who would have thought coming out of Grand Rapids like that?
They're from Chicago. My parents
okay.
My parents are like old school Chicago Democrats. Yeah. They love unions.
I like a union.
Big fan of a union, yeah.
I'm gonna read.
You remember
the next
that
one.
When Delta was trying to prevent its employees from unionizing, and they started putting those pamphlets in like the employee break rooms at the airports that were like, it was like a picture of a video game console, and it was like, union dues cost $800 a year. With that, you could buy the newest video game console. What are you gonna do with your money? And everyone's like, "Fuck you, Delta! I'm gonna join a union."
Yeah, I do remember that. I remember when I worked at both Target and Best Buy, we received so much training regularly on like what to do if someone comes in and tries to get you to unionize. Like they push it on these
really
hourly workers. Like, this is the worst thing. You'll have to pay dues. Is that what you want? I'm like, well, I get better job security and higher raises and more protections.
And lawyers.
And it's like, well, yeah, also yes,
but
union dues, you don't want, that's your money. If you want to throw it away, that's like, on you.
It's like the same when people try to argue against like Medicare for All, and they're like, "Well, you're going to have to pay more taxes." And I'm like, "Let me tell you about the time I had to get an inhaler and I went to the pharmacy and they said that'll be $350." And I cried. This wasn't that long ago, and I have good insurance.
That's I think about people who have to take insulin or inhalers and stuff like that all the time. Even
it's
something
so
like
expensive.
Glasses like
yeah, thankfully mine's just an emergency inhaler, and I probably won't ever go through all of it. But like, it's so expensive. I'm like, I would absolutely rather pay more in taxes and never have to worry about paying for healthcare. Like,
because it's not just about us who can afford it; it's about all of the people who cannot. So I'm like, yeah,
exactly.
Tax me more. I make money.
Yeah,
I will gladly redistribute that to people of less means, if that means
yeah,
more people will have good lives.
Funny thing is. the best insurance I ever had was when we were still on my dad's, I was still on my dad's TRICARE, which was the government military insurance. And that was fantastic. It was like accepted everywhere. Never paid for a damn thing. Like, I loved it so much. I could go into any provider. Like, I didn't need referrals. Mm-hmm. I like never had a copay. Nothing. Nothing. You should,
let's convince David to join the military.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's on my insurance right now.
What, he's just mooching?
Mm-hmm.
At least he's got a job, though.
That's true.
All right, I'm going to read this next one, and then we can take our break.
Awesome.
This one is called, Am I the Asshole for Going to a Strip Club After My Wife Decided Not to? So my wife, 29 female, and I, 32 female, have a rule that we can go to strip clubs, but only if we go together. I also like them more than her, but she usually enjoys herself when we go. Well, the ones here finally reopened last week, so I made plans for us to go with some guy friends. And then came the night. She didn't want to go. She's also kind of crabby. I guess she wasn't feeling well, so I told her she could just stay home with me while me and the guys went. And then she was like, no, we only go to strip clubs together. And I explained that I get the rule, but she had already agreed to. We fought a bit. In the end, she was like, fine, whatever, go. So I did and had a good time, but I could tell she was upset. Now, in the past, one of us had stayed home if not feeling great, but the other still wanted to go out with friends. Not to a strip club, granted, but I don't think it was a rule violation because she already agreed. So was I an asshole? Why Yes. are you going to strip clubs? That seems like an odd married couple. Like, you know what would be fun?
Well, they're both gay. Like, they're both women, and they both like women. So maybe they're just, they like going to watch strippers.
It just seems, I don't know, it seems like an odd activity. Like, I've never thought, oh, you know what would really bring me closer to my partner is going
to a strip club. Well, it sounds like they have a group of guy friends that like it. And so they're like, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I think they are the asshole, though, because if that is their rule, if you've set that boundary, like, just because that person, you know, whether they're feeling sick or whatever, like, that is still the situation, especially if then that person, if they had said, yeah, go ahead, I'm okay with that because I said I would go. But if they were mad, like, I'd be like, okay, maybe I shouldn't do
this. Yeah, and that's such an important rule because the strip club, you're talking about, not sex, but, like, intimacy with other people. And so if the rule is you go there together and do it together, then that's completely different from you going by yourself with a group of guys because now you're going to be getting dances from these girls without your partner there, and that's a totally different experience.
Yeah.
Also, fine, whatever, go is not a green light.
What we call as that is a red flag, and it says,
as don't someone do this. who's definitely said, like, fine as a not fine. Fine, whatever, go is woman for if you go, I will fucking kill you.
Yeah, and that's true even in a women-loving-women relationship, I think. So
I think that's just across the board. If a woman tells you, fine, whatever, go, don't go.
I also find it interesting, the statement, I also like them more than her, but she usually enjoys herself when we go. So I wonder, is the other wife like, just like, I don't actually like this, but if we're going to do this, I want to go together because that makes it more, I don't know, comfortable or less weird or whatever.
Yeah, maybe it's like they don't feel like going when it's like the idea, but once they're there, they like it. You know, I'm that way with like going out, you know, when we could go out. Like the idea of going out would always be exhausting, but once I was out with friends, it was like, this is fun. Mm-hmm. Although maybe this is their way of spinning it, like she actually never wants to go, but I drag her along and she has fun.
Although I also, again, question, like, we're in a pandemic and you're like, oh, thank God the strip club's open. We gotta go.
Strip clubs are open.
We gotta go.
Yeah, I've seen weird pictures of, like, strippers in, like, bejeweled masks.
Yeah.
This is, gas mask. What apocalypse is this?
I've seen the drive-through. Weren't they doing drive-through?
Oh, my God.
Things? I'm like, I'm, you know, stripping a sex worker, I don't care. It's more the image of, like, is this truly essential work that we're mm-hmm. doing, like, that we need to keep mm-hmm. open? Because I know at one point in California there was a lot of stuff shut down, but strip clubs were still open, and it just seemed like a weird thing.
Maybe they're not in the U.S. Maybe they're in like Australia, where it's actually like it's under control, but the government is over protective.
True.
The top comment just sums it up. You're the asshole. She didn't actually agree that it was okay for you to go without her. She acknowledged that you were going to go regardless of what she said. That's what fine, whatever, go means. It's like, no matter what I tell you, you're going to want to go. So just go.
Yeah, I think all the comments agree that the poster is the asshole.
Yes. Good.
Good. Great. Nice. These are easy today, David.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just rolling through them.
All right. Well, let's take our break. We got a couple more when we come back. Episode 17. The date is January 30th, 2021. I'm Jessica, and along with me, I've got Becca. Today, we're going to be talking about orgasms.
Are we back? Are we back?
Yeah.
Back? Oh, nice.
Love to be back. I gotta be honest, though, last week when you said, "Are we back?" and I said, "No." And then in the edit, I put the song back in again. Like, I laughed so hard at that. I was like, this is the silliest, dumbest thing I've done.
That was funny.
I Are was very happy with
no.
that.
No. Boom, boom. Okay.
Okay.
We have our game as per usual. So I've got five.
I got a good feeling today.
Okay. 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 I've got five posts. One of them is fake. Jess, pick a number between 1 and 5.
3.
Okay. Am I the asshole for taking my husband's rights away? Am I the asshole for beating up my autistic friend? Am I the asshole for buying 500 pounds of meat? Am I the asshole for telling my boyfriend I won't stop drinking hot tea? And am I the asshole for eating, quote, too many samples at Costco? So, am I the asshole for taking my husband's rights away? Am I the asshole for beating up my autistic friend? Am I the asshole for buying 500 pounds of meat? Am I the asshole for telling my boyfriend I won't stop drinking hot tea? And am I the asshole for eating, quote, too many samples at Costco?
I wish we were going to read these, even the ones that, you know, the ones that are real, because I'm intrigued.
I know. I have questions.
I'm going to say taking rights away.
No.
Why? Why? Okay, then my second one was going to be too many samples.
It was samples.
Damn it. I should have gone with that.
Oh, you gotta trust your gut. Yeah.
No, I can't.
Yeah, taking my husband's rights away. That's a real post.
It just should we that read seems it? Like a conversation when we're like, team, should David have rights? Question mark.
Should we read it? I think we should read it.
Yeah, bring it
Screw
up.
Screw it. It's our show. We're
you gotta send it. Me the link so I can see it.
Okay. One moment while I send Jessica the link.
Love to get links.
Please hold.
Did you know that in the Zelda games, the hero is actually named Link and it's a girl?
Link is a boy.
That can't be true. I think
I actually
know.
Don't know Link's gender.
They've never stated anything other than him in the games.
Okay.
Though in one game he does, in canon, wear a cheerleader's outfit. So maybe, you know, maybe he's exploring. Good for him.
I like that for him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, a tangential post. This is not one that was picked for us, but am I the asshole for taking my husband's rights away? This is my first post, so please be gentle. Okay, my 28 female husband, 30 male, says that I am taking away his rights as an American to grow, quote, the devil's lettuce in his own home.
That's kale.
No. That is marijuana. So for some backstory, we've been together for 7 years and married for 4.
I don't know about that.
I've been fully aware of his passion for the, quote, catnip the whole time I've known him. Why doesn't she just say it? I don't smoke, but I don't condemn people who enjoy it. It's just not my thing. He seems to take any criticism of devil's lettuce as a personal attack.
This is like when the person was using the rainbows instead of saying gay or queer. Or
gay?
Whatever. Yeah. Why? This tells me there's some internal problem you have with it that you can't even say the thing.
Yeah, Reddit's anonymous. Like, you don't have to worry about the feds coming for you. Okay. I don't smoke, but I don't condemn people who enjoy it. It's just not my thing. Blah, blah, blah. Let's see. He wants to grow it in our home. He wants to grow enough for his personal medical use, possibly even grow more than he needs so he can sell it. Okay. So that's illegal. In most places, you cannot grow it yourself and sell it yourself. He wants to, quote, save money and even, quote, make money. I've told him I will absolutely not allow him to grow it in our home. For starters, I'm simply not comfortable with it. We have 3 children. She's 28 and they have 3 kids.
Okay. Some people do life very differently, Rebecca.
All right. You know, you're right. You're right. I feel that I have a duty as a mother to keep that out of my home for my children. He says that it is his right as an American to be able to grow it in his home. Also, my husband has never owned a house plant, so I'm not even convinced he could keep any plant alive, let alone one that he's depending on for medical use and income. I don't feel like he uses it for medical purposes that often. He says he only smokes because I'm such a hard person to live with, and I stress him out so much that he needs to smoke weed to feel better. Oh, that took a turn. Okay. I feel that he does way more than just medicate or even simply enjoy smoking. He spends at least $40 a week on it, but usually spends about $100 a week on it. Wait. Okay, at least 40, but usually 100. At Christmas time, he spent about $300 in a 10-day span. He didn't buy our kids Christmas presents except for some stocking stuffers.
Those stocking stuffers? Brought up joints.
David did that for his family. He also didn't buy our kids Christmas presents. Okay. I brought up my concerns with him, and I feel that he smokes too much and spends way too much. Considering that he works a minimum wage job, $100 is a massive amount of his income that isn't going to support our family. Here's where I'm wondering if I'm the asshole. Am I really as controlling as he says I am being? Am I the asshole for being critical of how much he smokes and taking his rights away to grow his own devil's lettuce so he can save money? Girl, get a divorce!
Why don't you believe in love ever? No, okay,
he has to spend $100 a week on weed because she's such a horrible person to live with. Get a divorce.
Here's a great comment. I think him wanting to grow weed is the least of y'all's problems. Like,
yes.
This is wild to me. Like, it starts off as like, okay, he can grow it. Like, who cares if he grows it? But then it's like,
then it was he has to spend $100 a week on weed because he hates living with me. Okay, you have bigger problems.
Yeah. Is he the asshole for being an asshole?
He didn't buy Christmas presents for the children.
He got them stocking stuffers. And he works a minimum wage job. They're stockings, ladies' stockings, that you put in a thing for a child. I don't understand. Like, this person, I wonder what has happened that has made them feel that they're the bad one here. Very troubling.
Yeah. He said you're the reason he smokes. Why are you still with this guy?
She just likes being someone's reason for doing something.
This is crazy. I'm glad we took this tangent.
Yeah, this is important. This is why the podcast exists. It's to help break up marriages.
Info, is it legal in your state? Yeah, growing and selling your own weed is legal almost everywhere. It is illegal almost everywhere, I'm pretty sure. In there states where recreational marijuana is legal, you still have to buy it from a licensed seller.
I think, like, in Ann Arbor, though, can't you have plants for yourself? Like, you can't sell them. You're not supposed to, but you can grow for personal use.
I think, but you have to get a license. You have to have, yeah, somebody said that in the comments, a medical cultivation license. So if you have a medical, if you already have a medical marijuana license, I think you can get the medical cultivation license. But that's not what this guy wants to do. He wants to grow enough to smoke $100 worth of weed every week, which, by the way, is a fucking ton of weed.
So in California, you can now legally grow up to 6 plants at home.
Yeah, but 6 plants isn't going to cover $100 a week worth of weed.
I don't
I'm no expert,
smoke, so
but
I
that's
don't know
a lot.
How much you need.
I don't really either. I've only ever gotten like joints, but I like when we moved here, I got $50 worth of joints and I still haven't gone through all of them. So I don't know how much this person is smoking, but it sounds like too much. That's so much money on weed.
That is a lot of money.
On weed. Their house must just smell like it constantly. They have 3 kids and he's smoking $100 worth of weed every, like.
No, that woman has 4 kids. It's just one of them is her husband.
That's what I saw in the comments. Said that. Oh, wow. Yeah. I hope she gets a divorce.
Yeah.
Does she have any other posts about her marriage?
No, this is her only post. I looked too because I needed to know more about this disaster.
Dang it.
How do we contact these people and help them?
I don't know.
We need to do outreach as the Unholy Pod.
Mm-hmm. Please talk to us.
I like the idea that he's trying to say, this is my God-given right as an American. And it's like, also, it's still illegal federally. So it's technically not a right.
Not your right as an American.
If you want to talk about the rights as an American, not technically true. So
I can see making the argument of like, if I want to grow it on my property and smoke it, I can see that being like your American argument. Yes. Of like, this is my property, even
it's
though it's
the
not
intent
stolen
to sell
from Native
that
people.
Property
but like,
is theft.
Okay. Saying like, okay, I own this property, I want to grow these seeds on my property, like, fine. But he's trying to sell it, so it's a completely different conversation.
Wish he wanted to grow.
You don't have a God-given right. You don't have a God-given right to sell marijuana.
Yeah, that's a God-given right to capitalism. God woke up, he's like, you know what I like? The free market. Unless the poors are in it.
Get out of there, poors. I love that tweet this week that was like, rich people. Well, poor people could get out of poverty if they just invested their money. I was like, poor people. Okay. Rich people. Wait, not like that.
Wait, not like that.
That was this week in a
That's
nutshell.
The vibe,
like,
right?
No, stop.
They're like, you should invest, but not in this manner.
Not like that. Not
this
like
is
that.
More troubling.
Man. Okay. Do you want to do one more?
Yeah, let's see. So David has titled this one, Insta says, am I the asshole for asking my friend to stop the way she shows off her before shots when she's refashioning my clothes? It's quite a sentence. I am a plus size gal who is really into fashion. I usually donate my clothes unless I can resell them. My friend Katie is really into refashioning clothes from thrift stores. She buys plus size clothes and then alters them into her size with a lot of other changes, like making them into crop tops or mini skirts or things. It's a really popular creative thing to do. Well, she asked me if she could have first pick of my clothes because I'm actually larger than what she usually finds and it'll give her more material to work with. I said sure and let her pick through my stuff I didn't want, but asked her to tag me in her posts and point people to my shop where I sell the nicer things. She started showing off her refashion stuff on Instagram, and I was excited until I saw the way she did it. In Katie's before shot, she makes these really exaggerated, grossed-out faces where she's draped in the oversized clothes. Or she'll do that face where she blows out her cheeks and holds the clothes out as wide as she can and does a cross-eyed expression. It's really obvious to the viewer that she's trying to mimic a really overweight person like me. When I saw that, my stomach dropped, and I just couldn't shake the bad feeling it gave me. I tried to give her the benefit of the doubt and asked her why she was making those expressions in the before shots, and she said she just thought it was funny. I told her that, to be honest, it felt hurtful, as I'm the one who gave the clothes to her, and it seems like she's just straight up making fun of me and my body, especially since she tags me. She told me that I'm being hypersensitive. I asked her to please just not make those faces. She told me something like, after you give me the clothes, they aren't yours anymore. So you aren't really in the position to tell me what to do.
Whoa.
I thought about that for a while. And in the end, I did agree. If I give her the clothes, they're hers to do whatever she wants with. My solution is that I'm just not going to give her any more of my clothes. I told her that, and she blew up at me, telling me that I'm just looking for a reason to be offended, and if I'm this insecure, I should work on bettering myself. Am I the asshole for asking her to stop what she was doing in the first place, since I'd given her the clothes?
Wow.
And then an edit. I just wanted to thank everyone for the responses. I didn't expect this to blow up. I want to reiterate that I don't think a refashioning plus size clothes is the issue. A lot of people do it, and it's great to use items before they just end up in the landfill. Plus, for everyone saying she should just go buy fabric like anyone else, good apparel fabric is so expensive in comparison to what you can find at the thrift shop. So the poster's not the asshole. The friend is the asshole. Yeah, like to have someone say, hey, this is how what you're doing makes me feel. And, you know, they're tagged in that. And the friend's like, no, that's wrong. You're wrong. Your feelings are incorrect. Goodbye.
Especially because they're being tagged in the posts. So you're making these faces to be like, look at this fat person's clothes. And then you're tagging your fat friend like, look at it. She's so fat. What the fuck? And then when you get the feedback, like, okay, you do that once, like, shame on you. But you get the feedback of like, hey, that hurt my feelings. And you're going to go to your friend and be like, well, then you need to better yourself.
Yeah, you need to stop being an idiot. I like, too, that the solution is like, hey, you know what? Then I'm just not going to give my clothes. You can keep doing your thing. But I'm not going to give you my clothes. And then the friend.
And then they get mad.
Katie is like, no, fuck you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Someone has a comment that's like, she was right in that once she gets the clothes, she can do what she wants. And you were also right to be like, okay, well, then you're not going to get the clothes.
Give you my clothes. Yeah.
So she has no recourse here. I like this that just says, when a person tells you that you've hurt them, you don't get to decide that you didn't.
Yeah.
I think that's
I like that.
That's very real. Like when someone comes to you as a friend and is genuinely just like, you hurt my feelings. Like, please don't do that again. It's not your place to be like, God, well, that's your problem.
Yeah.
No.
You need to learn to cope with that. I'm going to hurt feelings sometimes. So if you can't handle that, maybe we shouldn't be friends.
That does feel like something you would say.
Yeah, but I wouldn't mean that.
Right.
I would say that as a joke, stupid.
Fucking idiot. I hate you so much.
I know. It's okay.
All right. Well,
the anger fuels the friendship.
Get some new friends. Ditch Katie in a dumpster.
Yeah.
You could murder Katie
and then
tag her. I wish they linked Katie's Instagram so we could have all gone and cyberbullied Katie.
Mm-hmm. I'm all for cyberbullying if they're bad people. And if someone does it to me, I'll play along. And then, so some other context, somebody has info in her previous post that she also make these faces with the other clothes. And the poster says she definitely didn't. Most of the time, her face wasn't even in the picture. So
that's
even
so
that,
weird.
Too, I'm like,
very targeted.
Yeah.
That is really rude.
Maybe she's
really
only being friends with you to get at your trove of clothes.
Well, Katie sucks. And don't buy any more GameStop. It's a bubble.
I did not buy GameStop.
Takeaways. Yeah. It's,
I'm
going
to get big into Bitcoin.
David foolishly bought some after it went up, and he just happened to luck up that it went up a little more after he bought it, so he sold. And but it was probably not a great financial decision.
He can use that money on Takis for you.
Oh, my God. I love them so much. What if I only ate them for 60 days? Would that be weird?
I think it's only weird if you do it for any reason other than losing a bet. Like, there's a bro code, Becca.
As a bro,
yeah,
I can tell you that
Becca
very important
is a
to
known
me.
Bro. We list her in the bro crowd.
Known internally. Bro,
yeah,
honorary
known bro,
bro.
Rebecca Lynch.
That's me.
Was that our last one, or we do one more?
That was our last one. I think we're over time a little bit. It's fine.
Yeah.
I gotta go do homework. I gotta go learn about joint probability distributions.
Is that exciting?
And wish I was dead. Once I understand it, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But getting there is hard because it's a completely new concept. So
nice.
Yeah.
I'm
doing well.
Well, good. I hope that enriches you mentally. I will be going out with Chris for a bit, and then I'm going to edit this tonight while I eat some pasta and have some bread.
Nice. Really excited. I think I'm going to go eat some leftover Indian food today for dinner.
I had Indian food for dinner last night.
Oh my God.
That's not, it's like we were eating Indian food together.
Whoa.
Wow. Even COVID can't keep us from ordering the same food.
I don't see how it would.
My favorite nonsense thing that we did in terms of friendship is we were both in Austin at the same time on unrelated trips and went out to do karaoke with people, but it ended up being just us doing karaoke.
That's right.
And I said, I love to go to an entirely different city to do the same things with the same friend all the time. Uh-huh. But I was like, it was very silly to me. I appreciated that because that was still a good trip. And it was nice to see Kat and sing some songs, even though Becca and I do this thing where we sing Billy Joel's Piano Man on a single note for the whole thing. And
it's a C.
Yeah, people don't like it. And it's interesting because the song's in D, so the C doesn't work all the time.
The song is in C, you idiot.
No, it's in... Isn't it in
it's
D?
It's in C. I've played it on the piano.
I don't think it is.
It's in C. I've played it. You gonna look it up?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
No, it's in C major, Becca.
Okay, fuck you. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah, have a great week.